to Your Good Health Radio, brought to you by Choose for Health. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and your host, Dr. David Friedman.
Our next guest is a graduate of Northwestern University in biology, Northwestern Medical School. He currently serves as a scientific advisor to Omniborn Therapeutics. His latest book, The Microcosm Within, reorganizes our thinking about our biological selves, evolution, and extinction. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bill Miller. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Dr. Miller, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be on.
Oh, it's great. Now, there's a lot of differences of opinion in the scientific community regarding the Earth's biggest extinction, but new evidence from the National Academy of Science says microbial activity was to blame for killing 90% of life on the planet. Share this enlightening discovery with us.
That recent discovery has to do with what they believe is methane-producing microbes. So these microbes are able to utilize a thing called acetate, a substrate, and combine it with oxygen, with carbon dioxide, and they made methane. And the concept from these particular researchers is that the overproduction of methane led to the extinction. I would go one step differently, though. I believe that the most important thing for all of us from the moment of our conception to the day we die is how we interact with the vast microbial world and the world of infectious pathogenesis. And in extinction and evolution both, these things have been largely ignored. In fact, we're just beginning to understand. So with respect to the extinctions, I do believe climate changes, all sorts of physical things, even asteroids, can have their very important effects. But in the end, the final common denominator must be infectious disease. That's the thing that can go everywhere, and that's the thing that can kill everything.
That can kill us. I know in your book you talk about how food we eat can alter microbes, and this has a major role on everything from our life, death, obesity, diabetes, arthritis, even depression. What can we do to combat these little zapping microbes?
Well, the major thing, I think, for your listeners today is to realize that how we consider an organism has changed. When you look in the mirror, you see yourself, you think you're one thing. But that's not the way it really is. You're a collective. You're a vast set of combined ecologies. The microbes are very important parts of it. And we're just beginning to learn now that manipulating those microbes has crucial impacts on health. One way to go about it is to start to be aware that these things really count and to go ahead and think about yourself as a working experiment. What foods do I eat make me feel good, and what foods do I eat make me feel as though I'm just not right? And there's been some talk about elimination diets and things. The thing that you can do is to be aware and to be willing to be sensitive to yourself, to honor the feelings that you have, and experiment with eliminating certain things and seeing whether you feel better in the next morning or not.
So really not eating right sets us up to some microbes that aren't pro-health, where eating properly actually brings a better flora. Is that kind of the consensus?
That's what's beginning to emerge. We are beginning to understand that the character and the composition of all the microbes inside us and on us, on every surface that covers us, these have critical importance to our health, and the balance of this microbial life is extremely important. Particularly, it's starting to emerge with chronic diseases, and the surprising thing is that that's even true with mood disorders, with depression, and things like that. It's way more complicated than we understood before. So that there's an opportunity now for each individual to say, I can have an influence on how I feel by determining what works best for me. It may not be the best thing for the next person, but it is the right thing.
Everybody's different, I agree. But, you know, people think they hear bacteria is being bad for us. They're species that keep us alive and fighting disease. And how do we get good bacteria? Are you an advocate of probiotics? Because we need bacteria.
Yes, you can experiment with that. The data on that is still open-ended. But there are many people, and there have been a number of experiments that show that some people feel better with probiotics. It's a matter for you to determine. I think you need to be careful with antibiotic usage. Antibiotics are essential. We wouldn't want to live in a world in which they're not available to us. But if they're given out like candy, especially to our children, I think we have to be careful with them. When you take an antibiotic to cure an upper respiratory tract infection or an earache in a child, that can be a very important thing, but it also has consequences in other parts of your body. And those consequences, we're just beginning to learn, are complicated. It's a complex mesh that we live in. And that these are important things. So awareness is the first and most important thing. And then you...
Dr. Miller, if I might jump in, do you think that we have what we need to fight the infections that maybe are global? You know, we hear about, we've come up with vaccines, we've come up with all of these things, but since these infections can mutate and change, do you think that we have the ability, or that we would have it with what's around us in the environment, to fight these, or is it kind of an inevitability that they're going to take over?
The answer, that's a terrific question. The answer is it will be a perpetual battle. There's never going to be a moment in which we have conquered them in the sense that we've subdued them and they're no longer a threat to us. The single most enduring biologic force on this planet is the attempt by genetic material to get to be with other genetic material. We don't think of it that way, but that's what infection is all about. We're not going to change that. All that we can do is do our best at each moment in time, and we're learning a lot more about exactly what are those balance of forces of the microbial life, the things that should be suppressed, the others that need to be enhanced, and we can work, now that we're becoming aware of these things, we can work towards new solutions and new therapies. I think we're heading into a wonderful new world of medical discovery that's going to give your listeners an opportunity to have fuller, longer lives, feel better for their lives. The decline as you age, it doesn't have to be the same trajectory that we're accustomed to seeing. We can do better, but it takes understanding that it's our critical partnership with the microbial world. That's a new, important, essential element for us to understand.
And you make up a good point that people are starting to become more aware. And you mentioned the detriment of antibiotic. The word anti means against, biotic means life. So antibiotic means death by definition. And people to take them, and they know for 10 to 14 days. But what they don't realize is when they're eating food that has antibiotics in it, then it goes beyond that. So now they're actually killing off some cells with, that's a detriment that we don't even know now. Well, we're starting to know, but, 5-10 years ago, it wasn't as known as it is now, thanks to people like you and some films and documentaries coming out.
Absolutely. The critical thing is that we've underestimated the importance of this partnership. And the book that I wrote in particular, I'm concentrating on evolution and on extinction. But these are good examples of how the critical partnerships form and the great consequences, so that when we look at a host of other things, medical therapies, there's an interesting thing where they're thinking of de-extinction of previously right. extinct organisms like the woolly mammoth or the passenger pigeon. In theory, it's a very good idea. But when you start to learn more and more about how we critically interact with the microbial world, and you know that swine flu is named swine flu because it's a transfer. It's called a zoonosis. It transfers
right.
from other
animals. Dr. Miller, I hate to cut you off because I was hoping you'd segue right in, but that is so great. You are really brilliant, and your information is fascinating. We'd love to have you on again. Thank you so much. For more information on his intriguing book, you can go to themicrocosmwithin.com. And if you missed any of this great information, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. This is Melanie Cole with Dr. David Friedman. Thanks for listening, and stay well.